Major Donald E. Kehoe, United States Marine Corps flyer retired and author of three books on UFOs, commonly called flying saucers, and presently director of National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomena of Washington, D.C., was a guest on the Armstrong Circle Theater Wednesday night, the 22nd of January, 1958. If you've been listening to the Party Line, you certainly remember that we discussed that particular telecast. We spent a lot of time on it. Now, the show was scripted, and all guests and professional performers appearing thereon are supposed to undergo 2 days of rehearsal and then read their lines from teleprompters. On the program with Major Kehoe were first its senior writer, who sat in as a guest for Mr. Kenneth Arnold, because Arnold refused to appear after the last rehearsal. Now, Major Kehoe was allotted about 5 minutes immediately after the Air Force representative read from his teleprompter several statements that would confirm the existence of UFOs. Well, now, wait a moment. At this point, some people may be a little confused. You may be under the impression that I have made the statement that the Air Force representative led people to believe that there is an existence of UFOs. Actually, it was Major Kehoe's opinion. In fact, I think that he implied that these UFOs are coming from outside this Earth. Now, Major Kehoe concluded his allotted time for the final 20 seconds with an ad-lib statement that was not in the script. Now, this statement was monitored from the air by at least two private citizens and recorded by them on tape. Unfortunately, it was inaudible to the average listener. Due to the volume having been cut down almost to the minimum at some physical point between the microphone being used by Major Kehoe and the TV transmitter then being used. Now, this could have been at any one of several points. However, this is what I consider to be very important. Kehoe's statement, which faded at the 13th word, was finally cut off. Now, this is quite different technically from a fade. Actually, it was cut off 2 words before the end. Now, I have been told, and I hope I am not wrong, but to bring you up to date, this is supposed to be part of the statement that you heard and part of the statement that you didn't hear, which you may be hearing for the first time this morning. Kehoe made this statement. I would like to make a disclosure that has never been revealed to the public. Now, at this point, fade began. In other words, the microphone seemed like, just like at home, if somebody got up to your volume control and turned it down slowly. Now, according to two private citizens, possibly many more, but two of them that knew enough how to record this, even at that low volume, told me that this was the balance of the statement. I will read it for you. For the last 6 months, our committee has been working with a Senate committee, which is investigating UFOs. If the hearings are held in open hearing, I feel it will prove beyond doubt that the flying saucers are real. In order to secure the information we need, we suggest that all of the citizens write to, and at this point, there was a true cut. There was absolutely no sound. Now, according to a lip reader that contacted me, I've been told that the last 2 words were, "Your Congressman." Now, no sooner had the video cut to Douglas Edwards, who was the MC of the show, when the telephones began to ring. Now, actually, a large number of viewers wanted to know what Kehoe had said, and they also wanted to know what had happened. Many of them naturally were crying censorship. And within hours, a series of statements were issued to the wire services. Most of them attributed to CBS spokesmen. And also a phone report was made by Irving Tunick, the writer of the show, who sat in for Kenneth Arnold. And, of course, actually, I'm the one that received that report. I've got a lot of things to sort of straighten out with you first so that you'll know exactly what took place on that telecast. I know, according to the letters and telegrams that I received, people were very, very concerned about the fact that Major Kehoe had been cut off. That was Wednesday night, the 22nd of January. Now, we went on with the party line at midnight that night. I don't know if you call it that night or the following morning, but just in a matter of seconds, we were into the morning of January the 23rd. And we discussed that Armstrong Circle Theater telecast. It was sort of a documentary. It was about flying saucers. And I was quite amazed why Mr. Kenneth Arnold did not show up. But however, about 2:15 or 2:30, the morning of January 23rd, I received a telegram from Irv Tunick. Now, Mr. Tunick was the writer of the Armstrong Circle Theater for that particular telecast. Irv Tunick. Now, let me read the telegram. I have it in front of me now. As the writer of Armstrong Circle Theater, extremely anxious to give you all the facts on the Kehoe incident. Have been up since 5. Am in need of sleep badly. Would appreciate your call if you really want authentic report. Now, at that time, when I received that telegram, I contacted Mr. Irv Tunick. We recorded that conversation. We're going to play that back for you right now. Do you have that set up, Tommy? All right, let's hear that telephone conversation that I had with Irv Tunick, the writer of the Armstrong Circle Theater, on the morning of January 23rd.
Hello.
Hello.
Mr. Tunick.
How are you? I'm awful glad you called because I'm awful tired.
Fine. Mr. Tunick, you know we're on the air on a beeper phone.
That's quite all right.
Is that all right, sir?
Certainly.
Fine. And unfortunately, I did not get your number. I had no knowledge of your call until this very moment when the telegram was delivered to me. All right, Mr. Tunick, are you aware of the fact that we've been talking about it tonight?
Oh, yes. I caught it coming home from the studio in my car.
Uh-huh.
And I got home about 12:25,
mm-hmm.
called at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And very honestly, I've been up ever since. It was so strange.
Yeah, I can understand. Well, I'm sorry.
Surely.
Well, what actually happened, Mr. Tunick?
Well, let me give you the details. First of all, let me correct a few things that evidently reports coming to you are not quite right.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, to my knowledge, Major Captain Ruppelt is not in town.
To your knowledge, Ruppelt is not in town.
Now, the last conversation we had with Captain Ruppelt was that he could not get a leave of absence from his position in California.
Mm-hmm.
And it was for that reason, in the main, that he was not on the program. It was purely on his part. We originally did ask him to come, and we would have liked to have had him.
Well, there is. I hope that I did not imply that you did not invite him. It was told to me that he was invited and that he was billed. In other
yes,
words, that
right.
He was programmed, but I have been told, and this I do not know from Ruppelt, but I have been told that he did not want to go on the program the last minute that he sent a wire and canceled.
I have no knowledge of any such wire. In my conversation with Captain Ruppelt, he expressed rather an eagerness to come on the program.
Mm-hmm.
So I know nothing further about any telegrams, if any, did arrive.
Mm-hmm.
And as to his being in town, if he is, it's a surprise to me. The last I know, I spoke to him in California.
Kenneth Arnold is in town. Is
yes,
that right,
Mr.
There?
Arnold came into town Monday.
I see.
We brought him into town from Boise, Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
We had previously, over a period of a couple of weeks, made arrangements for him and his wife. We brought them both in. We put them up here in New York.
Yes.
He appeared at rehearsal for 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
This morning, we received a telegram that he would not appear. And he did not appear. As a result, I had a pinch hit, you know. I kind of sat in for him.
Well, Mr. Tooney, may I ask you this question?
Sure.
Did he say in his telegram why he didn't want to appear?
Well, very honestly, and I'm being extremely honest, I did not see a copy of the telegram. I understand that he sent a telegram to the producer and to newspapers around town, giving his reasons. I believe he felt that there was not enough time being given to his side of the story. Now, in that regard, we have a signed statement from Major Keogh, in which he states that our program was handled objectively and fairly, and that...
Was this a statement that was signed after the program, sir?
No, it was a statement that was signed much before the program went on the air when we heard that Mr. Arnold would not appear.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm.
Now, as to the very, what shall we call it, the sad incident that occurred, I work very closely with Major Keogh, and if you call him incidentally, I don't want to mention where he's staying, but I have that information, and I can get it to you. I'm sure he'll...
No, don't give it on the air.
No, I won't.
We're on the air now. You don't.
Yes, I won't do it. But he will verify what I'm saying, you know. I worked with him very hard. He cooperated with me beautifully, and I think I did the script more or less as he wanted it. When he went on the air, he began to make the statement as quoted by yourself and Mr. Sanderson, is it?
Yes, Ivan Sanderson.
That's right. He did make that statement. At that time, the director and the producer, working under CBS regulations, had to flip the key and cut the audio because we did not know what statement was coming out. The statement had not been approved by a continuity acceptance. As you know, must be done on network shows.
Mm-hmm.
We did not know if the Senate subcommittee mentioned had approved his statement. And in view of that fact, and as I say, by regulation, they had to cut the speech. And no one felt worse about it than the people attached to the program.
Mm-hmm. Well, then, naturally, the next question that I would... normally ask, I cannot ask because you're not going to give it to me anyway. In other words, you would not be in a position to tell me what he said during the time that the mic was cut off.
No, I would not be in a position. I do know that following the show, INS called, and he did give them the statement. And he also, after the program, again signed another statement.
Yes.
In which he stated that he regretted the incident. He was not aware of these regulations. He had been permitted a certain amount of ad lib during the course of his presentation, and he did not realize that a statement such as this did not fall into the ad lib category.
Mr. Tunick, I am a Johnny come lately in this business.
No, I am much more lately in the flying saucer business.
I was never familiar with that ruling. We don't have it in radio anyway. Are you saying then that if I were to be interviewed by somebody on television,
no,
that we would have to have a prepared interview?
Oh, no. When you have an interview program, obviously it's an ad lib program.
Mm-hmm.
But when a program is scripted,
yes,
it must pass through continuity acceptance. Now you know that as well as I do. And all of the material is placed on teleprompter, you see. Now, obviously, no one expects anyone to follow a teleprompter word by word.
Mm-hmm.
There is a certain latitude given. However, now put yourself in this position if you're the producer or the director.
Yes. Yes.
The statement comes out, I am now going to say something that has never been revealed before. You don't know what that statement is. You have no idea if it's been cleared by the proper authorities who are being mentioned. It has not been cleared by constantly acceptance. You are at the mercy of the person who is making the statement.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a general rule that at that time, the director has no prerogative but to cut the show.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a fact, and we felt awful about it. This is not a matter of censorship.
Yes.
As it turned out, I believe, the statement was fairly innocuous.
Mm-hmm.
And possibly might have gone just the way, you know, on the air. Mm-hmm. But the director...
In other words, it was not a world-shattering statement.
No, I don't think it was.
Well, you heard the statement. I'm not asking
you to
repeat
it. I didn't hear the statement. No, I was in the control room.
Oh, you didn't hear it?
No, you see, we cut the audio and we lost it in the control room.
Oh, yes, that's true. I didn't realize that. Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I do know that following the show, the INS called,
mm-hmm.
and he gave them the statement.
Mm-hmm.
But it was strictly a matter of routine.
I
mean, it was not a question of any type of censorship. As a writer, I am very much sensitive to the points of censorship. And I can assure you that this does not enter into it one little bit. Nor did the Air Force in any way control our program. The original idea for the program was our own. We set about it just as we set about any other program. We were very pleased when the Air Force offered us cooperation. When they opened their files to us, as a matter of fact, I had the files in my home for a number of days, working on the show.
Mr. Tunick, I had just one more question.
Yes, but before your question,
yes,
may I just correct one other statement?
Yes.
Mr. Sanderson said it was cut off for a minute and a half.
Mm-hmm.
It was cut off for exactly 18 seconds.
18 seconds.
That's right.
I think I don't know if Mr. Sanderson made the statement. I know that I made it before. I thought
well,
it was approximately a minute and a half, and I apologize. I was not timing it, believe me.
Now, if you would like to get Mr. Kehoe's statement
mm-hmm.
that he signed following the program,
yes,
that statement would be available to you tomorrow if you call Talent Associates, the producers of the show.
What is the...
Talent Associates.
Talent Associates.
Yes. Their address is 41 East 50th.
41 East 50th.
I won't get the phone number.
No. I can find it out.
Uh-huh.
All right. I was just wondering why. In other words, I'm certainly not being critical because I'm not a critic. But I was just wondering why on a program that was a documentary program you had so many different angles of the flying saucers involved. How is it that somebody like Adamski or Van Tassel or, you know, one of the people who have made the claim that they have had a physical contact with the Martians or Venusians, how is it one of those were not put in?
Well, a very good reason, because we were suffering under what might be called a stringency of time.
I see.
After all, Don Keogh does make the point, and I think a valid point, that he did not have equal time with the Air Force. That was not because of any other reason except time.
Yes.
We had to cut 12 minutes out of the show
mm-hmm.
after our first draft. And that's the only reason, because we have no axe to grind. We were trying to prepare an objective and impartial program.
Mr. Tunick, another question comes
sure.
on my mind then. If you had planned on having Kenneth Arnold on the program, we know that he couldn't get away from his job, but you did bring Mr. and Mrs. Arnold into New York.
Yes, you did.
And they were going to be on the program. Well,
he was going to be on the program.
I mean, he was going to. I'm sorry, sir. He was going to be on the program. What happened to the time that he was going to have on the program?
I pinch hit. I sat in for him because it was done. You see, we had no notification of this.
I see.
He sent us a telegram, which
yes.
arrived about 1 o'clock this afternoon.
I'm familiar with the telegram.
That's right. And we were caught.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after all,
yes.
We're all on teleprompter. Everything is set in the show. We were ready to go into our run-through.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly, one of our guests just doesn't appear. Well, what do? We kind of jerry-rigged it. I sat in for him, and I read the lines.
Right.
As we could. And we felt very badly about it. We do think that, in all fairness, we should have been informed, at least in person, not to be informed by a telegram. I don't think your service was done to anyone in that regard.
One question that Ivan Sanderson has raised. Why wasn't Arnold's name mentioned by the Air Force?
By the Air Force?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why his name wasn't mentioned by the Air Force.
The only reason that I think that Ivan brought that question up is the fact that he was former head of the United States Air Force Project Blue Book.
You mean Lieutenant?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you asked about Kenneth Arnold. I think you asked me if Arnold's name was mentioned. You meant why Rupert's name was
mentioned.
I have to give you the same answer. I just don't know. I mean, it just didn't come up, but I recall at any time that they would mention. I didn't know why they would. It certainly was no case deleted.
Well, Mr. Tunick, thank you very, very much for
quite all right.
Getting in touch with us.
May I thank you for the very kind words you have to say about the program as a whole.
I enjoyed it.
Well, that's very good. We're happy, and we really are very... We're sad that the situation had to come up because we thought it was a good program that the audience would be interested in. And we don't want the audience to feel that they've been cheated in any way.